And it is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5, the game online at thegamenashville.com, Reaction Monday. And we have a lot to react to as we are live here at Fitness 1440. Once again, it is their one-year anniversary party. Come on out, and if you're looking for a gym, this could be your place. New members sign up today for a total of $14.40. That's it. You walk in, you pay $14.40, and you walk out with a membership out here, Mr. GM. People are excited to be here today.
There's a lot going on here. I mean, there is activity. They've got I've been to a lot of gyms in my life. This one's got some special stuff now.
We got a movie theater cardio room. You get 24-hour access, indoor pool, indoor basketball court, free kids care. I mean, it's tons of stuff that they have going on over here. Now, I want to get to the Titans, and we'll get to the anthem and the flag stuff in 15 minutes. And if you're someone that doesn't want to hear about that, because I know there are a lot of people out there, we'll do that for about 30 minutes or so, and then we'll get right back to the game. But on the game. Yesterday's win against the Seahawks, how big of a win was this for the Titans? Because where I sat, I'm sitting there watching the game, I just felt like this was kind of, you felt good about the Jacksonville win because you blew them out, but then you wondered, okay, is it because Jacksonville stinks, or did you have a good half, or was it?
And we still don't know the answer to that.
I walk away from yesterday's game saying the Titans, when they do things right and they stay patient and they stay true to who they are a good team. Their quarterback is growing up in front of our eyes. This, to me, could end up being a transformative win for the Titans. It could be that big. That's how I feel about it. How big do you think this win was?
I mean, I think it was big from a couple of standpoints. I think it was big because they, rightly or wrongly, are a recognized franchise in the league. I mean, people look at them and say, hey, these guys have won world championships. They, you know, it's a lot of people tell you it's the hardest place in the league to play. You know, they've got the quarter on and on and on. And so anytime you can beat a team like that, it's a feather in your hat. I think more importantly is what you hit on, which is, we went in there and played our way. We didn't try to outsmart ourselves. We didn't look at them and say, oh, I don't think we're going to be able to run. Look at that defensive front. I think we better start doing something else. And instead went the other way. I mean, we were going to run the ball almost to the point of stubbornness. You know, it was kind of like, hey, it's gonna break at some point in time, which is, if you're a running team, that's what you always believe. And sure enough, that's exactly the way it worked. I mean, the more we did it, the more we wore them out, the more we loosened them up, the more the 2 yard gains were 6 yards, the six were 15, and they will even throw a 75 yarder in there. You know, I mean, so I thought all of those kinds of things, when you're playing a team of this caliber, all of those kinds of things are neat because you are beating them up. You know, you are imposing your will, which is a term that you hear a lot. You are, and that is the single biggest test of manhood in the NFL. You know, if you can run the ball and make you like it, then that means, you know, we're beating you up pretty good.
And that great secondary that the Seahawks have, Marcus unfazed, no turnovers, no dumb throws, no decisions where you thought, Marcus, what are you doing? And that leads me to the point, I feel like this quarterback is growing up right before us. He looks better. He looked okay in week one. He looked pretty good against Jacksonville. I thought he looked great yesterday against Seattle. It's like he's gotten better each week throughout the season. And even early when it wasn't working for him either, he didn't let it get him down. The team did not let their performance early on a bunch of three and outs get them down. This just feels like it's a big win for me on top of the fact that they are the Seattle, a name brand team, but it wasn't kind of kooky or gimmicky. You know, last year you beat Denver, who was the Super Bowl champion, but your secondary was so bad that Trevor Siemian almost threw for 400 yards. You beat Kansas City last year in a great game, which tons to be proud of, but it was like it was a shocker that you were able to do that. And you had to do it with a 53-yard field goal at the very, very end. You went out against a name-brand franchise that's going to make the playoffs this year, and you went mano-a-mano and ultimately won out your way. And that takes me back so much to the golden years of Steve McNair and Eddie George. And, you know, that was a Steve McNair stat line from Marcus yesterday, 222 through the air with a couple of touchdowns. Wasn't 370 yards.
And it was funny because he, Russell, you know, he threw for whatever it was, 404 TDs and, you know, had the best game of his career and on and on and on and lost. You know, it goes right back to what we've talked about before. So, I mean, I thought Marcus really, really played well. Marcus was very composed. I thought they did an outstanding job of calling just enough runs that you were – and they were protected runs. You know, he wasn't going to take a hit. But you got him to the sideline. You had people out in front blocking for him. You did all the things that you needed to do to protect your quarterback. And yet we know if he gets out there and starts running, now he can be a real factor. And I think that all of that affects your pass rush. It affects the defense and where the linebackers drop and what they're looking for. So I thought that was really well put together by the offensive coaches.
And then, obviously, the run game did break in the end.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was the – eventually the run and the pass worked. Biggest thing that Marcus did in that football game, in my mind, other than not turn it over, you're up 6-0. You've dominated a half. You should be up 13-0 because Adoree Jackson returns a punt for a touchdown that gets called back. You should be up 13-0. You've dominated Seattle through a half. And Russell Wilson in the 2 minute goes right down and scores, and now they're up 7-6. And the Titans get the ball back, and Marcus marches them right down the field to kick a field goal. And you went in the locker room with your head up, up 9-7, as opposed to being down when you felt like you had outplayed them and giving them the ball back. I don't want to understate how important that drive and field goal was to the whole football game yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, I think that was the biggest drive of the game. Simply because of what you said. They went in at halftime believing. They said, you know, I mean, because it was going to be hard to stomach working as hard as they'd worked. All the pain and agony and whatever else they'd gone through and be down. You know, go in and be down. Even just a point to be down. So they were able to go the other way. You know, he marched them right down, got the field goal. Now they're going in halftime saying, hey, this is right where we want to be. We're in good shape.
Let's go to the calls on Reaction Monday, 615-737-1025. We're live out at Fitness 1440, where they're celebrating their one-year anniversary today. Adam is going to kick us off this hour. What's up, Adam?
Hey, Jared, GM, you know how I knew that I was the next call up? Because Tyron and Brentwood was the last call up, and I always have to follow him. So today, I know you warned me last time not to say anything ugly about him. I'm not going to. I just want to talk about how dumb the stuff he said was about him personally, on a personal level. I'll get very political correct with it. His quarterback is not – oh, my gosh, how do I say it?
Adam, I don't want to hear any caller on caller crumb. Get to your point about the Titans.
Okay, go Titans. Hey, I called last week. And I said that, you know, you can't put the third leading rusher on the bench. And you started reading off of me stats about 6.8-something, Henry. You got to start feeding the monster. Well, I said Marco looked like Barry Sanders this week. So, for you guys that's keeping track with that, he does not need to go on the bench anytime soon, especially not this season if we're going to make a run.
Can I bring up – thank you for the call, Adam. I feel like the Titans, I think they played it so well. I think they lied all week about Murray. I think they knew Murray was going to play the whole time. You can't have that 75-yard touchdown run Murray had if we're not sure about your hamstring, right?
I don't know. I mean, I was surprised. I thought he would pull up at any point in time. But he didn't.
Grabbing hamstring there, running
well,
that 75-yard
run. Yeah,
just
not risking it. You know, just not. But unless they were really, really slow. Because he was running now. And I want to tell you what, the down-the-field blocking, phenomenal.
And on the screenplay, too.
On the screenplay, too. I mean, the effort and the blocks downfield were just outstanding.
Speaking of Matthews, going back to the old golden days of the Titans, and if you're a Nashville transplant and you've lived here for 2 years or 3 years or whatever it may be, you probably don't remember the old golden days of the Titans as much as we do. Since Floyd was the general manager then, I think, obviously, he remembers on a certain level. I feel.
What is that? You give me 50-50 or what?
Well, I was just figured that you would remember more than the average person because you were the boss then.
I thought I'd probably remember less because I'm older than you.
That's probably true, too. The Marcus-Matthews relationship feels like it's becoming the Steve McNair-Derek Mason relationship. I mean, I feel fine saying Rishard Matthews is this team's number one wide receiver. He is playing like a number one wide receiver right now. Not a T.O., not a Hall of Fame level number one wide receiver, but on 3rd and 7, Marcus loves going to him, and he makes the plays when they're thrown his way. I absolutely love Rishard Matthews. I think he is becoming a number one receiver for this team.
The interesting thing with him, for me, is he looks – when he came here last year, when we were – I thought he was just a big receiver, you know, not as athletic or as fast or as any of those things as you would want, but a big, you know what? I think he's thinned down. I think he is gotten faster. I mean, he is playing quicker. His run skills yesterday for a big guy were impressive. And again, I mean, he got outstanding blocking. They did. I mean, I can't say enough about the effort it took for those guys. But I mean, it was impressive to see him and the things that he did. And I agree with you. I mean, if I'm Marcus, I'm making sure he's getting his share now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he is. Do you see a little bit of that Steve McNair, Derek Mason relationship with Marcus and Matthews and how it feels like on every 3rd and greater than 5, he's looking at Matthews?
Yeah. I mean, I don't. It's the same deal we talked about before. Confident, you believe in him, you know where he's going to be. You heard Mike talking about receivers and mm-hmm. patterns and, you know, not quite sure. And
when he was asked, like, what the best thing that Marcus has done lately was, it was he got the receivers to run routes better.
And who is the guy that was talking to him? Marcus. And if he's smart, Marcus is saying, hey, till you run that right, you're not getting the ball now. I'm going to keep throwing it over here to the tight end, keep throwing it over here to Matthews, and they'll get every ball. You'll just be wasted out there.
Rob's up next on the Richard Sherman late hit. What's up, Rob?
Just a few things. This was the first time I went to a Titans game this year, and I don't know. We need to sign that dude that's dressed in a Trojan outfit. That dude is humongous. I mean, good Lord. And I love when we score or make a first down. And that 300 chant, just amazing, you know?
I hate that. Hate it.
And I'll close with this. All you Vanderbilt fans, y'all anchored down, right? We told you we was coming. Hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I don't know. And Rob, I think I appreciate your call. I disagree on so many levels with his call. One, I hate that 300 chant when they get a first down. Inside the stadium, when they get a first down, it just go, hoo, and I'm like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And that's hard because there have been a lot of stupid things I've heard at the Titan games.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, if you're an Alabama fan, why are you trash-talking Vanderbilt? Like, do you really need to trash-talk Vandy? So that's my only take on that. Once again, we're live out here at Fitness 1440. Okay, coming up next, we will discuss the national anthem, and we will discuss the Titans and their decision to not be a part of it. We will get into all of that coming up. We will do that this hour, and then we'll circle back to it at some point in the 4 o'clock hour as well. But that's what's coming up next. Are we okay with the Titans not coming out of the locker room for the anthem? We'll get to that next. Jared and the GM live from Fitness 1440, their one-year anniversary party. Hey, do not miss the 2017 Nashville Whiskey Festival presented by the Midtown Cork Dorks Wine Spirits Beer. The festival is at the Omni Nashville Hotel Saturday, October 14th from 6:30 to 10:30. And for more information, visit NashvilleWhiskeyFestival.com. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Should be a physical game. We know that. Each team comes in 1-1. Meanwhile, you look at the field, and it is kind of a surreal scene because there is the Tennessee Titans locker room. No players have come out of the field for either team. Each team making a statement here for social equality, for unity, and so they've chosen not to come out for the national anthem.
I know a statement was released prior to the game in regards to the national anthem and what we did, and I'm gonna stay with that and just let you know I was supportive of it, and I'll be glad to answer any questions in regards to football.
That was Titans coach Mike Mularkey after the game yesterday, and Mike today during his press conference stuck to that exact same message, basically. We'll get into some of that as well as we're live out at Fitness 1440 today. Floyd, this is the statement from the Titans. I'm going to start with the statement from the Titans, and then we'll get into it. Quote, as a team, we wanted to be unified in our actions today. The players jointly decided this was the best course of action. Our commitment to the military and our commitment is resolute. Our commitment to the military and our community is resolute, and the absence of our team for the national anthem shouldn't be misconstrued as unpatriotic. That was what the Titans said yesterday from their schedule or from their statement. Both you and I are very big supporters of the national anthem. When I was a kid, I was 3-4 years old, if a baseball game came on and they played the national anthem, even on TV, I'd take my hat off and put it on over my heart just like the players would. I know you love the national anthem as well. But I'll say this. I mean, I think we saw what happened over the course of the weekend and the way the NFL was trending. I don't have any issue with what the Titans did yesterday. Do you, as a guy who loves the national anthem, a little bit older than me, been in the wars, the football wars, not the real wars, but the football wars, has been in all of that, did you have a problem with what the Titans did yesterday?
No. As a matter of fact, I probably would prefer that. The fact is they decided if we can't – I mean, to me, the last thing you wanted was to go onto the field and have half of the team kneeling or sitting or whatever, and the other half upright with now, I don't know if you've ever noticed Mullark's sidelines, but he played for Bud Grant. I worked for Bud Grant. Bud Grant, you stood toes on the line, heels 45, thumb on the crease of your pants, helmet under your arm with the chin strap buckled, and you were at attention. And he would film it. And if you were not exactly the way you were supposed to be, you were in trouble. So, I come from that kind of background. So rather than have half of the guys up, half of the guys down, you know, splitting the team up, if you can't decide, just stay out of it. That's fine. People think this has been going on forever. You know, we've only been coming out for the national anthem for maybe 10 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not the way it's been. In college, they don't ever come out for the national anthem. High school, don't come out for the national anthem. I mean, we're just making this a giant deal. And I am not in any way, shape, or form, you know, belittling the national anthem. I mean, I'm one of those guys, when I was working it, they play the national anthem, I'd get emotional. I'd get teary-eyed. Mm-hmm. I mean, it meant that much to me. But rather than go through all the stuff we're going through now and who's right and who's wrong and pointing fingers and choosing sides, especially if you're a guy running a team and you want everybody thinking the same way, doing the same thing, or at least doing what the majority of the team thinks you need to do, then, I mean, I would be all for it. And if that means staying inside, then that's staying inside.
The one thing, and I don't like having this discussion because – what's going to happen is if I have one opinion one way, all the people who have the other opinion on other side are going to hate me.
Call you a dummy.
Opinion. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, I hate having this discussion because it makes people uncomfortable. And the one thing I'll say is I think we need to understand where everybody is coming from. And that's why, and we'll take calls, but the calls I want to take, they're not going to be just yelling of this is what I think as opposed to why perhaps the issues may be. So I try to look at how everybody in the room feels about certain things. And I know there are a lot of people out there that think that taking a knee for the national anthem or sitting down during the national anthem or the Titans staying in the locker room during the national anthem is disrespectful to the people who have died defending our country and our right to be to do and say and eat and breathe and believe in whatever we want. And there are a lot of people who are offended by that. And I get it. I understand. And then there are a lot of people who feel like this country gives privileges to certain people and doesn't give it to other people. And they're doing this as a method in which they want conversation to begin about how we can make things better in our society. And I'm a firm believer that we need to have those discussions. I don't think I should be the one to have that discussion because I don't think I'm smart enough to be the person to lead in that type of discussion. But I agree, we need to have those type of talks. I just think what we don't need to get into is name calling. We don't need to get into yelling. We don't need to get into, you know, well, this is what I believe, so it's right. Because I think when you do that, all you're doing is you're forming a resentment amongst one group or another. It creates a wedge. And that's what I think everybody says they're trying to keep from happening.
And the bottom line is, I mean, we won't believe this, and people get mad at this too and probably think I'm a dummy, but I want somebody to show me the path, the way you get from taking a knee in a football game and changing what's going on in life. I mean, that path, I don't see that path. That path is not clear to me.
See, I actually am starting to see the path. Because I'm with you, I wasn't seeing it at first, but I'm starting to see the path.
Okay, give it to me.
Okay, so when Colin Kaepernick first took a knee, I was totally against it.
Okay.
Right? Like, I thought it was disrespectful and all those things. And there's still a part of me that feels that way on some level. But now, when the president comes out and says what he said, and now it becomes a major news story the entire weekend, and whole teams are not coming out, it's almost like now I'm more willing to listen to the people that are wanting to take a knee. I'm more willing to want to have those discussions. More willing to...
Who are you going to discuss it with?
Well, I'm just saying that this needs to be something where the players, like they showed a special on Sunday Night Football of the Dolphins, and Tony Dungy went down to Miami, and I think it was Kenny Stills he was with, but and they did like a ride-along. And the owner of the team and the players and the police department all came together, and they started to work together, and Tony said that the crime rate has somewhat gone down in Miami since they've done that. I mean, look, I know you're laughing about it, but I think there's some truth to what
Tony
was saying.
See, I don't see any of that. I don't see it. I mean, I know people talk about it. People want to – it's like so many things that we try to do. It all sounds good on paper. It all go okay, let's – what a great idea. Let's try that. And they fail. And they always fail. And yet, what are we going to do? We're going to keep throwing money at it, and we're going to keep doing – that is not the answer. Until you get the people that matter to change – I'm talking about the people that make the laws. I'm talking about the people that run everything that's going on. Those are the people that – you know what? You can beat your head against the wall out here for, you know, 10 hours a day. Those people aren't going to care. They don't care. We've got to change them.
Yeah, but you can't say they don't care if it's because if the president is talking about it. I mean, now it's...
Did the president give you any kind of inkling that he cared about anything?
He cares enough about it to bring it up, to make it a big deal.
He cares enough about to call the people doing it SOBs.
He cares
enough... Is that some indirect love
I don't
know about?
What I think's funny is, to me, it would be one thing if they did the protest and nobody said anything. That's the whole point of the protest, is to raise awareness. If they did the protest and nobody said anything and nobody cared and nobody, then it would be like, what are you doing? But now you've gotten the attention of the people at the highest level. Now you need to do something with that.
Do you really think? I'm not even going to ask a question.
Go ahead, ask it.
No, I know your background.
But see, this goes back to my whole point. I don't want this to be about ideologies mixing with one another. I don't want someone to look at this and say, well, he has that opinion because he's liberal, and that's why he does it. To me, I don't think that gets you anywhere. That just continues to drive the wedge, and I'm not going to sit here and waste my time just going over, well, you think it's disrespectful, and you think people are being oppressed, so you two are just always going to have differing opinions, and now you guys have to hate each other because you have those differing opinions, which is where we're going, and I'm just saying
we don't
need to hate each other.
And that's what I'm
stuff.
Saying. That all of this ends up at some point in time in politics.
Which I hate.
There is nothing in our lives, daily lives, more divisive than politics. Politics can't agree on a single thing. They can't agree on whether, you know, what's good for people. I mean, and of course, there is nothing. Everything they do is 50-50. You know, you take your 50 senators and you go over there and I take mine and we'll go over here and we'll just let this all rot. And it's been that way forever. I mean, in my lifetime. I mean, it's just, and if we think that, you know, some player kneeling is going to change that, then I'd like to see that path. I don't see it.
Maybe I'm just being optimistic.
Naive is the word I would use.
I'm not trying to be naive. I'm trying to listen to everybody.
We can't. I mean, all that is really good. I mean, and I think it's a good idea. Again, keep in mind that I am I am calloused a little bit because when I went to college, I started to tell you before, we had Bruin Walk, which was long, more than a quarter of a mile long. They had tables just like the one we're sitting at, lined up side by side. One was the SDS, one was the Black Panthers, one was, you know, whatever this the other group is going to be, the Young Republicans. The other was, and it would go on and on and on, and you would go by these people, and they wanted so badly to tell you what they were against, not how they could fix it, not what they needed to do, but they just wanted to tell you what was so bad about what these other people were doing. And you get, I got to the point where it was just, you know, you couldn't listen to it all.
Yeah,
you just ignore it.
That when it's just all ideology and it's not solution.
And taking a knee at a football game is.
I think it's. I think.
And
they
I'm
started,
not blaming. And I'm
I
not
agree.
Blaming
I think
Kaepernick.
There's a lot of ideology to that.
It's all ideology.
But I want to see if we can make this into some solution. So we have loaded phone lines. I'm sure we'll take some of these calls at some point. But I want to play what Tony Dungy said last night on Football Night in America, because I think Tony makes some points. I want to get to that coming up next, as we are live out at Fitness 1440 on a Reaction Monday, where all I want to react to is the great Titans win and the embarrassing Vols win and the embarrassing Vandy loss. But we can't get to that because this is the biggest story going across the country. So we'll get more into it, but we will have what Tony Dungy said, because I want Floyd's take on what Dungy said. I want to get to that next. Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The Seahawks and the Titans stayed in the locker room for the national anthem. I just got done talking to Pete Carroll about that. He said, number one, he collaborated with Mike Mularkey about 3 or 4 hours before the game to do so in unison. He said the decision was player-driven by his side, and he described it as a classy way for the players to show their unhappiness.
That was Paul Burmeister on Football Night in America yesterday, and seems pretty simple to me. My guess is Pete Carroll talked to the Seahawks. The Seahawks said, hey, you know, we'd rather not go out there. Pete went to Mike. Mike said, okay, let's do it. And that was that, right? I mean, that seems to be point A, point B, so on and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, that might be it. I'm going to guess that there was discussion within the players about how they wanted to approach it. And you either, you know, you go one way or the other. Do we want to go out there and have half the guys standing, half the guys sitting, half the guys kneeling, half the guys singing? You know, what exactly do we want to look like? And the one thing that Trump and his statement did was it unified all these teams.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these teams and owners have now said, okay, we're doing what's best for our team. All right, what's best for our team? This is what Seattle's going to do. They go, and, you know, if you can't decide, if we can't find one thing that we can all agree upon, then let's just stay in. Well, and I think that was the smart thing to do.
And those owners, a lot of them, you know, I think it was 7 owners donated $1 million to Trump's inauguration party. So they voted for Trump, and they donated the money to Trump, and yet they came out with statements, I guess, kind of against what Trump said. Dan Snyder of the Redskins is one of those owners, and he was locking arms there on the sidelines with his players, because if you're an owner of a team and you don't back the players, you lose the team. And I think the owners know that, and I think there's something to that. Speaking of that, though, I want to get to that unity aspect of it, and I want you to hear what Tony Dungy said on Football Night in America yesterday on NBC. This was Coach Tony Dungy.
Well, there was a lot of passion, a lot of emotion, and you look at these guys and their response. These are not unpatriotic men. They're men who care about their country, they care about their sport, they care about their neighborhoods, and I think we've got to take a lesson from the two young men we've featured in Miami. Make a difference, go forward, bring things together, not push things apart, and it's a tough, tough time, but I think the NFL responded the right way today.
And then Tony went even further about what the Dolphins did in the ride-along and meeting with the owner, etc.
Their owner, Stephen Ross, listened to those guys. What's your concerns? And they went forward with a plan and got some things going. Crime rates decreasing because of this ride-along that they had with the police. And that's what we've got to do. Go forward. We've got to listen to each other and go forward with a plan to make it better. That's what leaders should do, including, in my opinion, our president.
What do you think about what Tony Dungy said?
You can't disagree with any of that. I mean, I don't, you know, makes sense. I mean, it was, again, it's You know, is it permanent? Is it going to be that way forever? Where they're going to have those guys riding in the cop cars forever? No. So when they quit riding, is it going to go back up? I don't know. You know, but that's what I'm saying. Is that, does that look good right now? Is it is it something that is a solution? No. It's putting a Band-Aid on a hemorrhage.
I agree. I'm looking for answers, though, and I feel like you've come of the mindset that there is no answer here.
No, there's an obvious answer. We just can't get there.
What's the answer?
The answer is you've got to get all of these people that really matter, not football players, not radio guys,
okay,
not
let's
TV
use the city
guys.
Of Nashville, for example. So the mayor, the police
chief? No, I don't. I want to keep it away from politics.
Okay.
Because politics screw everything up. You've got to go, who are the leaders in town? We know who the leaders are. Who are the big money people? Who are the people that matter? Who are the people that can say, they can say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to give enough money to the city that we're going to have police 24 hours a day in these areas, boom, 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 boom. And they pay for it. And they say, okay, now that is a solution. That's an answer. But where are those guys? You know, I mean, they're not kneeling in football games. They're not. That's what I'm saying. What's going on down here is so far away from the answer that the path from A to Z is really, really long and narrow. Now, is there a way to get it there? Yeah, and we're talking about leaders. That's what leaders do. If you are a leader, and I'm not talking about, you know, I'm the president of the PTA here in Franklin. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the governors. I'm talking about the senators. I'm talking about the representatives.
But I thought you wanted to stay away from politics.
I do, but I'm just using that as an example of the caliber of people you have to get to. And you have to get, it's just like this with the owners. You know what? The president comes out and criticizes the NFL. You saw more owners yesterday on TV than you've seen probably in your entire life. Every owner in the league was on TV some way, somehow.
Titans gave Amy Adams Strunk a game ball for always supporting the team.
There you go. See, so I mean, their pictures, there the, you know, the Robert Crafts, and we found out how much they donated to Trump's, you know, campaign, and on and on and on, and all of that is divisive. It's the same thing. It's just what we're talking about.
Let's take some calls. T is going to be up next here. But once again, I don't want to get into this whole, like, yelling or screaming or anything like that. I just want, you know, honest takes and then discussion. So T is going to start us off. What's up, T?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hey.
Has been talking about this subject pretty much all day on the radio. I actually called in and spoke to D-Maze and the guys earlier and voiced my opinion on it. It's the same thing. We're not really discussing the real issue. You know, what constitutes disrespect for the flag? As a military member, to me, that flag is sacred. That's what we fight for. I mean, it's not just, you know, a piece of cloth to me. It's everything. It represents me. It represents you, Jared. It represents Floyd. It represents our brothers, our sisters, our cousins. It represents everything good that we stand for and everything bad that we stand for, too. It means that, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I could call the GM and tell him I'm having an issue, and he could make a phone call and make somebody disappear. Well, that's what that flag means to me. It means I'm never alone. It means I'm never alone. So to the military members, you know, they take it really to the utmost place when it, you know, comes to disrespecting that flag, because it's not just a piece of cloth to us. It's a symbol. It's a symbol of us.
Yeah, but isn't the First Amendment, I mean, on that line, T, and I appreciate your call, the First Amendment is that of free speech. And so if you're fighting to defend what the flag represents, which is the country, it also does on some level represent freedom of speech and expression. And I'm not saying one's right or one's wrong, but I've heard both sides of military members that have said on one end, hey, that's what we fight for, and then I've heard other people that are very offended by it.
Well, this again, and I appreciate his call, and I agree with what he said. I mean, there is no doubt in my mind. I may be naive here, but the way this all started was Kaepernick took a knee to draw attention to the fact that there were racial, social issues in our country. he didn't take a knee to disrespect the anthem. He didn't take a knee to disrespect the flag. He didn't take a knee to disrespect military. But as is common with our, it goes from that to now it's everything. Now, if you do, you're disrespecting the flag. You're disrespecting the anthem. You're doing this and that and the other. And that's what I'm saying. Right now, that whole thing is so convoluted that nobody knows. If you have a cause, you want to throw it out there. Yeah, kittens. Hey, they don't like kittens. Do you see them kneeling at the game? And it just gets so weighted down that it gets meaningless.
Well, yeah, because it's almost like if you don't stand for the flag, you're unpatriotic, and if you don't stand behind the people. And I'm not saying that that's true. I'm just saying that's how some people will view it. You don't stand for the flag, you're unpatriotic. And then the other side of that is you don't agree with why the people aren't standing for the flag, you're a racist. And it's like that doesn't necessarily, that's not true. Like,
no,
I don't think Kaepernick's unpatriotic.
And I heard one today, they threw in sex. So you're, some kind of a feminist, or you're a non-feminist, or you're whatever label they want to throw at you, for that. So my problem is there are so many things that are kind of brewing in this soup that, we can't pick one out. We can't, the way it started and where we are now, we're worlds apart. Now, I'm sure there are some hardcore, whoever they might be, that would still say, no, I'm doing this because of racial injustice. Okay, that's cool. Let's go talk about that. Let's go see if we can find, but there's so many other things that have become involved that, it's just sad. I get so frustrated because there's, everybody wants an answer and nobody knows what the question is. And so consequently, when this is all said and done, whenever if the league comes out tomorrow and says, guess what? Everybody's standing inside for the national anthem, just like the way it used to be. We're going to end this right now. It's over with. Now, if you want to stand outside the stadium on a box and, shake your hands and whatever, great, go for it, man. But, we're not going to have any more of this on this field.
We got a loaded bank of calls. You want to take those calls?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we'll do that coming up next. We are live out at 1440, or Fitness 1440, where they're celebrating their one-year anniversary party. Once again, if you want to get signed up today, and this is a gym, but it's a 24-hour gym that is probably one of the bigger gyms I've seen, with an indoor pool, indoor basketball court, sauna, kids care, etc. If you want to sign up today, come on by with $14.40 total. That's it. You walk in with $14.40, you walk out with a membership. It's that simple. Fitness 1440 is where we're hanging out. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Okay, we're talking about the Titans and the Titans' decision to stay in the locker room during the anthem. And Floyd and I are both pro the decision of the Titans to stay in the locker room. If for nothing else, it just keeps it from being a he knelt, he didn't kneel conversation.
Unity. Team unity. And they obviously couldn't decide who wanted to sit and who wanted to kneel and who wanted to stand. So they said, okay, fine. We'll just pass on it all.
Now, apparently Jesse James Decker said on Instagram that Eric Decker was not informed of the situation ahead of time. Mike Mularkey today disputed that, saying he was told that everyone was informed of the decision, which then leads me to wonder who is informing the team of the decision if Mike's not the one informing the team of the decision.
Well, I'm sure the players took a vote of some sort. I don't know. I act like I'm there. If in normal situations like this, some they would take a vote, decide on which way they wanted to go, and everybody would support it.
So somebody's lying. Either Eric Decker lied to Jesse James Decker. Jesse James Decker is lying, which I find to, not that I have any proof, but I would assume that that's probably the truth. Or the coach is lying. Somebody is lying. But that's a discussion for a different day. Let's go to your phone calls. Charles is up next. Thank you for calling, and thank you for waiting. What's up, Charles?
Jared, GM, thanks for taking my call. I served 6 years in the Marine Corps. And there's more than disrespect on the NFL side. There's more than disrespect on the national side, because every day, everybody disrespects the flag. I served 6 years in the Corps. Every morning I get up, I put my flag out. Every night when the sun goes down, my flag comes down. That's the way I was taught and raised. The flag doesn't stay up all night. We were taught that it doesn't. Number two, I think the biggest problem with Kaepernick was the fact that he started out having a bad season, and it started out where he was going to make a spectacle of it and say, okay, we've got social injustice. There's social injustice, I agree. But you don't wait until – why weren't you doing anything about it the year before when you were having such a good season? Number two, I talked to –
In all fairness, Kaepernick did start it in the preseason last year before anything else.
I stand corrected, Jared. The other situation, I talked to a guy today that works for me, and I asked him the same question. He said, well, you show me any injustices, any inequality. I said, you look down at the slums. There's an inequality there. He said, well, that's their choice. I said, no, it's not their choice. I said, sometimes those people down there want to get out, but the only thing that is afforded them is minimum wage job at the best. If there's so much equality that the NFL or everybody else wanting to holler about, you got people without homes, without jobs, that are living in tents underneath bridges that want to work and can't because they can't find a job. The last thing I want to state, and I want to be perfectly clear. When they're hollering about First Amendment rights, I fought for everybody's First Amendment rights. I've had uncles that died in service for somebody's First Amendment right, and I'll give them all the due that they want. But in turn, don't turn around and say because, A, the president came out and said, in his opinion, that those SOBs should be fired for doing it, that he doesn't have that right to say that as his opinion.
I appreciate the call. I think there's, on some level, you know, like, I look at the First Amendment, and I don't know how everybody else does. I mean, if you say something, like if I said something on this show that didn't jive with management, like if I came on the air and I said, don't listen to 3D, that show is awful. If I said that, and I mean, I listen to 3D every day, so I think that's a great show, so don't misconstrue that. But if I came out and said, 3D's a terrible show, they would fire me, and they should fire me.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I would go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is when I think of free speech, that's what I think of. You don't have the right to say whatever you want for your employer's sake. You have the right to say whatever you want and not end up in jail.
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't. I mean, civilization puts boundaries on you, too. You know, laws and whatnot. I mean, there are certain things that you... I mean, everybody, you can say it, but you're going to pay a price for it.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're willing, in my world, if you're willing to pay the price, that's fine. You know, you go... And you call some, you know.
Yes, I do know.
Yes.
I'll leave it at that.
You'll get whooped.
Okay, we're moving on.
You know what, though?
Go for it.
Real quick, talking about serving in the military and all that. Again, and you see where he went with it. You know, he went with disrespecting the anthem and disrespecting the flag, and I didn't. Now, I might be the one that's naive. Let's face it. But my... initial impression was he wanted to draw attention to these couple of items, big items, but items. He wasn't doing it to disrespect the military or disrespect the flag or disrespect the anthem. I mean, that wasn't his objective. Now, that's just my understanding. And that's, again, where, you know, we're at a point now where we're all screwed up. None of us know what we're talking about.
And I'm a 27-year-old kid that grew up growing to private school in Nashville. So what, you know, in terms of ignorance or being naive, I feel like I'm the one who would be the poster person of being naive. But that doesn't mean that I don't have thoughts and feelings on these things like everybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
They may not be the same as everybody else's, but those differences, I think, sometimes are what makes this country so great. And then the being able to understand or being able to listen or being able to see is another thing I think we need to try to always go forward with. I want to know where the solutions can come from. I want to know how we can come up with solutions. I don't just want to hear about people being angry, if that makes any sense. I don't want every radio show that we do. I hate talking about this. I want to talk about the great Titans win. I want the yesterday was a great win for the Titans. I want that to be the lead story today. Instead, we just did an hour talking about the flag and the anthem and the president. I don't. I'm not Fox News. I'm not MSNBC. I don't like doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody said to me, you know, hey, you guys need to talk more politics, and I watch all that stuff every day. I watch CNN and MSNBC and Fox News. I don't want to talk about it. So I want to talk Titans. I want to talk Big Win. I want to talk Vandy. And that's the thing where I guess maybe it's different, or maybe it's – I'm not totally sure exactly how I would – say that this all goes down and where it fits. But I know that, generally speaking, this doesn't fit what we do. And I know it makes the coaches uncomfortable. It probably makes some of the players uncomfortable. It probably makes a lot of people uncomfortable who don't want to be a part of this, but in turn are. So we're going to move on. And we'll circle back to this at some point later here in the show. But back to the game. Back to the game. Because that was a great Titans win. And back on the game, I want to talk about the coach of the Titans because I'm not sure he's getting enough credit right now. We'll go to that next. It's Jared and the GM live from Fitness 1440 on ESPN 102.5 The Game.